sometimes are sent to get us to transfer our minds from earthly things to the things of God.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. We welcome you to our broadcast this evening and invite you to listen as Pastor Brian Grant brings the sixth message in his series on the seven sign miracles recorded in the Gospel of John. Miracles that specifically reveal Jesus to be the Christ, the one sent into the world to save sinners and reverse the awful consequences of sin against God. This evening's message, taken from chapter 6 and verses 15 through 21 of the Gospel of John, is entitled, In the Eye of the Storm. Pastor Grant looks at the storm that overtook Jesus' disciples in this passage and how he used it to teach them faith lessons they could not have learned in any other way. We trust this message will be an encouragement to you, our listeners. We would be delighted to hear from you. Here now is Pastor Grant.
In his book, The Eye of the Storm, Max Lucado tells the story of Chippy. Chippy was a happy little bird who spent most of his time swinging and singing. But one day, his owner decided she was going to clean out his cage, and so she got her vacuum cleaner. She turned on her vacuum cleaner. She put the hose in the cage. And just as she put the vacuum cleaner hose in the cage, the telephone rang. She turned around to get the phone. And in those few seconds, guess what happened? Poor little Chippy was sucked up into the vacuum cleaner. Well, she panicked. She turned off the vacuum cleaner. And she pulled him out. And he was alive. But he was covered with all the dirt and grime that's stored in vacuum cleaner bags. Guess what she did? She grabbed little Chippy and she rushed in the bathroom and she put him under the cold water. Poor Chippy almost shivered to death. He didn't know what had happened. And so when she saw poor little Chippy shivering like a leaf, she grabbed him. And she got her hair dryer. Poor little Chippy didn't know what hit him. He was hit with a blast from the hair dryer. Poor little Chippy, he used to love singing and swinging. He never swang and he never sang anymore. Poor little Chippy, he just sat, just dazed. He had found himself in the eye of the storm. Have you ever been in the eye of a storm? That's what I want to talk to you. It's no fun being in the eye of the storm. And this morning I want to talk to you on the theme, In the Eye of the Storm. We're continuing our series on the seven signs of Christ. And for those of you who have been following us, I have been going through the seven miracles recorded in the Gospel of John. And today I'm going to take my text from John's Gospel chapter 6, verses 15 to 21 were already read for us. But in John's Gospel chapter 6, the disciples found themselves in the eye of the storm on the Sea of Galilee. And the Bible tells us, as we read the story before, for hours the storm pounded them. And then suddenly something dramatic happened. They were being pounded by the storm. They were making absolutely no progress. They were still in the middle of the lake after hours and hours of sailing. And for those of us who have been to Israel, we realize that the Sea of Galilee is not that big. It's only about 6 or 7 miles long. It's not that big. And after all these hours of sailing, they were still in the middle being pounded by the waves, and then something dramatic happened. Jesus came to them walking on the waves. This is big. You see, by walking on water, Jesus was showing that he is the Lord over nature. Amen? But by walking on the storm-driven waves, Jesus was signaling to us he's also the Lord over every storm we may ever face. Amen? But why would a Christian have to face storms in their life? After all, since God has the power to make our lives easier, why does he allow storms in our life? I'm glad you asked. And since you ask, I want to share with you this morning four reasons using this particular sign in John's Gospel, chapter 6. I want to share with you four reasons why God allows storms in our lives. Reason number one, God allows storms in our lives because storms often reinforce spiritual lessons. Every school gives examinations. For exams help us determine if we mastered the lesson. And God often uses storms like an examination, and he uses storms in our lives to help us determine if we've mastered what he's trying to teach us. And in the passage we have, one of the reasons Jesus sent these disciples into the storm was because they did not grasp a very important lesson. Now, you'll find one of the reasons I love the Gospels is because the Gospels all give us different bits of information. Some people say, I probably have said this before, but I'll say it again. Some people say the Bible is not reliable because if it were reliable, all the Gospels would say the exact same thing. Well, listen, if every Gospel said the same thing, we would know they were not reliable. If one of our brothers jumped up and said a sentence and the police came and asked us what happened, everybody would have a different thing to say. This is why the police actually will check out all the eyewitnesses as they try to form the picture of what took place. And what God has done, he has used the eyewitnesses to actually tell us what happened. So listen, let's go to Mark's Gospel chapter 6 to get some of the details that we do not see here in the Gospel of John. But in Mark's Gospel chapter 6, we see something here that's very, very important for us to see. Mark's Gospel chapter 6, verse 51 and 52. And here's what the Word of God says. Then he went up into the boat to them, that's Jesus. He went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed in themselves. This is at the end of the storm, beyond measure and marvel. Here's the verse I want to hit home. For they had not understood about the loaves. Do you see that? One of the big reasons this whole story happened is because they did not understand about the loaves because their heart was hardened. Jesus sent them into the storm, and one of the reasons he sent them into the storm is because they had missed a very important lesson. You see, earlier that day, it was the same day that Jesus had fed 5,000 men plus women and children with a little boy's lunch. It was an amazing miracle designed to teach disciples an important lesson, but they missed it. And the storm would help them get it. I wonder if are we grasping God's lessons. I wonder, you know, it's easy sometimes to come to church and have the message go in one ear and come out the next, and we leave without grasping anything. In fact, some people come to church determined not to grasp anything. Let me meddle for a while. Some folks, if they're not careful, they come to church with their phone, and while at the preacher's preaching, they're texting. Oh, you don't really want to hear God's lessons. When we fail to hear God's lessons, when we fail to grasp God's lessons, it's one of the reasons that he does allow storms into our lives. Johnny Erickson Tada found herself in the eye of a storm. At 16, she dived into the Chesapeake Bay, but misjudged the depth of the water and she broke her neck. This 16-year-old Johnny became a quadriplegic. The days of walking, riding, horses, tennis, swimming, because she was a very active person, all those days were over, and she realized she would never use her hands or her feet again. She was angry. She experienced suicidal thoughts. She started doubting her faith. But eventually, Johnny Erickson Tada came to realize that in the eye of this horrible storm, she could entrust her life to Jesus. In therapy, they taught her how to paint with a brush in her mouth. And she soon mastered painting. By the way, she has sold a number of paintings. But she soon mastered the ability to write with a pencil in her mouth. You see, a lot changes when we get the right attitude. Am I right about that? And she mastered the ability to write with a pencil in her mouth. And since then, she has written 48 books.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
I was listening to her recently, and something she said grabbed my attention. Here's what Johnny Erickson Tata, a young lady who has been a quadriplegic from she was 16 years old. And you see, sometimes in our little storms we go through, I'm not minimizing your storm, but you need to realize there are some other folks who have gone through some stuff too, amen? In fact, there may be somebody who has gone through some bigger stuff than you. But what we need to realize is that attitude does matter. And here's what Johnny Erickson Tada said. She said, eventually I learned that wisdom is trusting God even when life doesn't make sense. You see, that was the lesson the disciples missed. By feeding 5,000 with a little boy's lunch, Jesus wanted them to realize they could fully entrust their lives to him, regardless of what the odds seemed to be. Regardless of what the odds might seem against you, Jesus wants us to realize we can entrust our lives to him. So this morning, before I go any further, I want to make sure that we are grasping this important lesson that we must fully entrust our lives to the Lord. We must trust him even when we can't figure things out. Are you there yet? Storms often reinforce spiritual lessons, but secondly, storms increase our dependence on God. When you're in a storm, there's no better place to turn or to run to than into the arms of Jesus. I remember Cheryl and I, we were on this cruise ship in the North Atlantic, I think we were crossing from Egypt to Malta. And I tell you, the weather was so bad, it's as if the cruise ship was being lifted out of the water and thrown back. Everybody was sick. The captain of the ship was sick. Needless to say, she was sick. I was just crawling. I couldn't get to the bathroom without crawling. I couldn't get up. I just crawled from one place to the other. We were sick, but I tell you, what a prayer meeting was going on in my heart. Amen? Mark points out a little detail that's easy to miss. Are you still with me in Mark's Gospel chapter 6? Well, if you are, look with me at verse 47. Now, when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. So Jesus had now sent the disciples. Oh, you need to get this. Jesus had actually sent them away, and I'm going to come to that before we finish this morning, but the disciples didn't choose to go on the ship by themselves. Jesus was the one who had sent them away, and they were now, he was alone on the land, but they were in the middle of the sea. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea, and he would have passed them by. Oh, I don't want you to miss that. The Bible is actually telling us that Jesus would have walked right by them if they had not cried out. Jesus will not force himself on you. Some of us go through storms after storm after storm, and we figure we're going to handle this one by ourselves. Go ahead. Help yourself. I ain't going to go through them on my own when I have someone I can turn to. Amen. And so Jesus wants us to call out to him. Listen, we can run to Jesus. Amen. When storms blow your way, and I'm sure in an audience of this size, there are some folks who are in storms right now. And I want you to know that Jesus wants you to run to him and to fly to him. Amen. Because storms cause us to increase our dependence on Jesus. Listen, we can depend on him because of his promises. Amen. Let me share just one of his promises. Isaiah 43, verse 1 to 3. Here's what my Bible says. It says, "But now thus says the Lord, your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel." Listen to this part. "Do not what? Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." Oh, let me pause there. Let me ask you, do you belong to Jesus? You see, what I'm about to say doesn't apply to you if you do not belong to Jesus. He says, but if you belong to me, then he says, you are mine. What a thrilling word. What a thrilling phrase. I am so glad I'm a child of the King. He owns me. He made me, but he purchased me by his blood. He has adopted me into his family by his sovereign will. I belong to Jesus. And he says to me, and he says to you, if you're a child of the King, he says, listen good. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not overflow you. And I'm talking to somebody. Oh, I know that many of you have come and shared with me the medical challenges you are going through. And God is saying to you this morning, when you go through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you, for I am the Lord your God. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. The Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And I am so glad that if I'm a child of the King, he will never allow a storm to destroy me. Oh, let me give you another verse, another precious verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. So here is how I know he will never allow a storm to destroy me, because he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, no test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. Oh, let me stop there for a minute, because it's time to get over your little pity party. Oh, I can see him now. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows my sorrow. Guess what? Somebody does. Jesus knows, but guess what? He's letting you know that what you're going through is not something that nobody else has ever experienced. Some other folks have had it. So he says, you need to realize that it's time to end the pity party and do some trusting. Amen? This is not beyond the course of what others have had to face. But here is the promise. All you need to remember is that God. Oh, we could have stopped right there. But the verse says, all you need to remember is that God, what, will never let you down. He'll never let you be pushed past your limit. He'll always be there to help you come through. Hallelujah. What a God, what a mighty God we serve. He's going to be there for us. So in the eye of your storm, if he does a miracle, praise him. But what happened if he doesn't do a miracle? Praise him anyway. You see, the promise is, can I be for real with you? If you're dying of cancer and God decides to miraculously heal you, bless his name. If you're dying with cancer and the Lord decides to heal you through medication, bless his name. If you're a child of the King and the Lord decides not to heal you through miracle or medication, bless his name. You say, are you for real? Yes, I'm for real. Because the same God who can do the miracle is the same one who will give you grace to deal with it. And listen, what is the hope of a believer? Is my hope to be healed from cancer? Or is my hope to see Jesus? Sometimes if we're not careful, we forget what a real hope is. I hope you don't think I'm being insensitive, but I just want to bring us back to really what we're all about as believers in Jesus Christ. My hope is way beyond the blue. My hope is in heaven, because one day, listen, even though cancer might take my body, but one day I'm going to get a body that is incorruptible and that cannot fade away. And I praise God that we have seen some miracles and we have seen God do some amazing thing. And so when I stand here, I'm not trying to say that, listen, we've seen it. But I want to know the same God that we have seen do miracles is the same God that sometimes says it's time to come on home. And when that happens, let's praise his name. Amen. Anyhow, can somebody say amen to that? This is like Daniel and the Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they said, you know, if you don't do this, we're going to throw you in the fire. You remember what them boys said? Listen, King, I just want you to know our God can do it. You can do whatever you want, but our God, if you throw us into the fire, our God is able to deliver us from the fire. But they said, even if you don't, still go and praise him. Amen. We're still going to praise him because he is our God and he has promised he will never let us be pushed beyond our limit. And when drama comes into your life, he giveth and giveth and giveth more grace. Secondly, not only we can depend on him, as I said, because of his promises, but we can depend on him despite delays. If you look there in Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 47, you'll notice it tells you when evening came that he came walking of the fourth watch of the night. You see, here's the key. The disciples were rowing beginning in the evening, and Jesus saw them struggling, and he never went until the fourth watch. The fourth watch is between 3 a.m. and 7 a.m. These guys were rowing from evening. They were rowing and they couldn't even make 3 miles. After all those hours, Jesus saw them struggling and he did absolutely nothing, or so it seems. Jesus delayed rescuing them, but listen, he was watching and praying for them the whole time. If Jesus puts you in a storm, he'll pray you through the storm. Amen? Amen. So when you find yourself in the eye of the storm, cling to Jesus.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that, and mean it, God will hear you.
and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.